And so I'm ready for a blessing. Are you ready for a blessing this morning? Are you ready for the Word of God? All right, here we go. Today we're going to expand on a subject that we began almost a year ago, and that is the subject of prayer. I told my Bible class that this was part two. Part one was a year ago, August. And we're now getting around to part two. And it definitely could be a part two to teach us to pray, which was that message back in August. And you can find that online. Today, in this expansion of this subject, I sometimes hear from believers, matter of fact, pretty often, that they feel they really don't know how to pray very well. Do you feel inadequate when it comes to knowing how to pray? No? I'm still learning how to pray. What am I telling you? It's a very common problem. It was a problem that was present with those men who were with Jesus literally every single day. Luke 11 and verse number 1, it said, "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, in response to that request, Jesus gave them what we refer to as the model prayer. Now, the world refers to it as the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord's Prayer is in the book of John, and it's a lot longer. This is the model prayer. Matthew 6, 9, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now, I want you to note, make sure you understand, that Jesus did not say, pray this prayer. He said, "After this manner, pray ye." This is not a prayer for you to pray. It is rather a pattern for your prayer life with four, perhaps five, if you want to conclude this last one, main components that are to be included as you address the Lord. The first one is a recognition of who you're talking to. You're not just talking to your buddy across the street. You're talking to the God of heaven. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, set apart, nobody like you, Lord, be thy name." The second component is a willingness to pray according to the will of God. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The third one, it gets around to asking God to meet your needs. "Give us this day our daily bread." And that is followed with a willingness to meet God's condition of answering your prayers. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And you may well want to add the fifth component, that you do well know who's in charge. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now today, as we expand on this, I want to acknowledge to you that I am no expert on prayer. I am very much still learning how to pray. I consider some of you far greater prayer warriors than myself, and I recognize that your prayers are likely one of the main reasons that God takes such abundant care of Lisa and myself as we are ever on your prayer list as you bring us before the Lord. And I'm very grateful for that. There are, however, many among us who are just learning how to pray. Some of you have just now been given access to God in prayer, only recently, just like the one that you saw come up out of the water just a little while ago. Let me add that if you're not saved, now I want you to get this, you really don't have a prayer life. Only saved people have a prayer life. Only saved people are guaranteed access into the Father's throne room by virtue of Jesus being your mediator. If you're not saved, you likely consider prayer like talking to the wind, which it pretty much is, until you, by being born again, and God becomes your heavenly Father. Now today, I'm going to share with you believers, this message is for God's people. If you're not saved, it's really not going to mean much for you until later after you get saved, and maybe you can kind of go back and remember. We're going to call them keys. I'm going to share with you a few of the most important keys, which will greatly improve your prayer life, and they will contribute to the answers that you're seeking from the Lord. Now, this is by no means the final word on maintaining a great prayer life. These are just some things that are going to help you on your journey as you learn to pray. Because I dare say there's no one in this room who's mastered how to do it. Amen?
Amen.
We have not arrived at this category. We're still very much students of how to do this and how to get it done. The first one I want to address this morning is the pattern of your prayer life. Now, there are some things that will affect the pattern and the frequency of your prayer life. In the model prayer, we are to recognize that we are talking to the God of the universe, the Creator Himself. That's a greater privilege than any president or congressman or any person on this earth that you could be talking to. A true recognition of who we're talking to tends to put us on our knees. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Truly, a believer can pray in any position, but if you never get on your knees to pray, you likely have one of maybe two or three problems. One would be that you just physically can't do it. There are those. Jacob was like that in the book of Hebrews. Or two, you really don't recognize the majesty of just who you're talking to. Because if you did, you're not going to be standing up like he's a buddy across the street. Or three, you have some kind of pride issue that somehow you're just good enough that you don't need to bow down. I hope you don't have that problem. Yes, he is God. He is the God of the universe. He is the creator of all things. But he's not just our God. He's also your spiritual heavenly Father, and he is your friend. We have been made the friend of God. Now, I'm not going to all the scriptures where Jesus taught us that and showed us that, but I want you to understand something, that as the friend that he is, his desire is to love you and to be loved by you, just like your physical father should be or should have been and perhaps was not. What we have with our God is not just a religion. It's a relationship. He's my Father, and he loves me, and I love him, and we talk all the time. You understand where I'm getting at? There are to be formal times of prayer. When we come before God in praise and thanksgiving and supplication and use all the components of properly coming before the God of heaven, and we looked at those components already. But if God is to you who you say he is, why would you not be visiting with him all the time, day in and day out? You start your conversation in the morning, and sometimes you carry it into your sleep at night. The principles of love and relationship require time spent together in fellowship. In 1 John 1 and 3, John tells us that which we have seen and heard, that which John and the other apostles have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Walking in fellowship with the Father and Jesus is a lot more than just confessing your sin to keep God off your back. And don't tell me you don't do that. Yeah, when we sin, we know we got to fess up, or God's liable to take us to the woodshed if we don't. And I understand that. In fact, I practice it every day, just like you do. Walking in fellowship with God means involving the Lord in what you do, ideally in all that you do. I wish I could say that I always involve God in everything that I do. But I can't honestly say that. And I also know there's not another person in here that can either. There are some things that we should involve God in everything, but there are some things that are still in our life that we don't. Prayer is an oratory. You look it up, that's what it says, oratory. It is conversation with God. It can and often does include something called supplication. Supplication, you'll read that in your Bible in several places. It means it's a request. It's asking for stuff. Prayer also includes asking for stuff. But let me tell you something about being a dad. All you dads already know this. No father is pleased when his children communicate only when they want something. I would have got 2 or 3 amens at least on that. Fathers are not pleased when the only communication they get from their children is when they want something. No father is pleased when his children keep asking for stuff without being thankful for the stuff that they've already received. It's not hard to understand God's heart on this thing. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing." That means don't worry about stuff. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication," what's supplication mean? Asking for stuff, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Sometimes my kids call me up just to say hello and see how I'm doing. And I'll tell you, that's pretty wonderful when that happens. It's just pretty wonderful when they do. One of them called me last week and invited me to go fishing with him. I couldn't go because of commitments that I couldn't change, but I sure appreciated his desire into wanting to include me in what he was doing. Touched my heart. It touches God's heart when we want to include him in what we're doing. One of them called me. Others do from time to time. I just got to ask you this morning, how much do you talk to God? Is it just in the morning or maybe in the evening or just at certain times? How much do you really talk to God? The pattern of our prayer life should be very broad. The purpose of your prayer life is where we're going to go next. The purpose of prayer is not what most people think it is. Most think that prayer is God providing a channel through which he can meet our needs. I think most people would kind of fall into that category. But I would say that God has been meeting your needs without your prayers for most of your life already. Has he not? So prayer is definitely not a channel so God can meet your needs. He's doing that anyway. Often, perhaps because of our foolish pride at times, much if not most of what we pray for is for others, not even for ourselves. I have a hard time praying for stuff for me. And I attribute part of it to pride, and that's a problem, and I work on getting rid of that on a regular basis. You see, the purpose of God providing us a prayer life is not for giving us stuff or a way to get it. It's for his glory. Do you understand this? The reason that you have access to God in prayer is for his glory. I'm going to show you that as we go along. God is providing us an opportunity to be a part of what he is doing in the world that we can choose as we become his partner, as we come to him in prayer, as we become a co-worker together with God. You can't be a co-laborer together with God without you communicate with him. Why do you think God promises to grant only what we request that is according to his will? We'll read that in just a minute. But God promises to grant the requests that are according to his will. Why is that? I think you'll figure it out here pretty quick. Now, God does grant much of what we request anyway. That's because he's a wonderful heavenly father. It's because he's our friend. It's because of his kindness that we've been singing about. But his promise is for that which is according to his will. Let me read some of this to you from John 14, 13. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name," Jesus said, "that will I do, that the Father," why? "That the Father may be glorified in his Son." What does "in my name" mean? It means according to his will. That's exactly what it means. You know, I've illustrated it to you before. I've got an account down at the lumber company. If you go down there and get something in my name, it better be for my job. Amen? That's the same thing when we're talking about asking for stuff, supplication, in Jesus' name. John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. When's the last time you asked God to do something that was primarily for the benefit of His kingdom? I want you to think about that a minute. We pray a lot. We ask God for healing of sickness. We ask God for a new job. We ask God for pay raises. We ask God for all kinds of stuff. But prayer is designed so that we can ask God for things that build up and that profit and that prosper His kingdom for His glory. I keep thinking back to when Lisa, it took her a long time to ask Him, of course, but she finally got it done. I keep thinking back to the time when Lisa asked God to make her a Bible teacher. You know what I think? I think God said, now there's a prayer I can answer. A prayer that is for the specific and premier purpose of contributing to God's kingdom. Now, I want you to look now at the prerequisites of your prayer life. There are some things, if you're going to be able to pray and see answers, there are some things that you're going to have to get in order first. One of the things that I want to start with first is what's not a prerequisite to prayer. What is not a prerequisite to prayer is a sinless life. You don't have to have a sinless life before you can come to God in prayer. If that were true, none of us would ever get to pray. The idea that you do have to is what keeps many of you from talking to God like you should. Now, I'm going to get kind of down where you live for a minute. You may not say it out loud, but your thoughts can't seem to rationalize why a holy God would want to hear from a sinner like you. Now, don't tell me you haven't thought about that. Why in the world would someone as wonderful as God want to even hear from me? After all, I've confessed that same stupid sin 876 times now, and I'm still dealing with it. How could a holy God want anything to do with somebody as big a mess as I am? Don't tell me you don't think like that. I'm not the only person that thinks like that. You're getting way too quiet. You know, I very much understand feeling that. Why does God want to hear from you? Come on. Why does He want to hear from you? Wake up. Why does He want to hear from you? Because He loves you, duh. He's your Father. And He loves you. He wants to hear from you. He's not demanding you be perfect before you can talk to Him. Matter of fact, He made a way for you to handle it so you could always talk to Him. Just acknowledge what you've done, your sin, and the door is open. And His ears are open to your prayers. And preferably, you won't just go asking for stuff. There are some rules you must learn. Yes, you should confess your sin, provided you can even realize or remember them all. I think God cuts us a lot of slack along that line. And you can receive that new clean heart from the Lord by exercising 1 John 1:9, just like He tells us to do. But you may not harbor unforgiveness against anyone. And I'm pretty sure that that includes yourself as well. Sometimes you're willing to forgive anybody and everybody but you. And if the Lord's willing to forgive you, you best be willing to do the same. In Matthew 11:24, He said, therefore say I unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, Forgive if you had aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now you can go to 1 John 1:9 and you can confess your sin, but if you're harboring unforgiveness, you might as well be talking to the wall. Because the Lord's not going to handle your problem as long as you're holding the same thing against somebody else. Don't just cross your fingers and wish. Pray in faith, believing. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that, number one, that he is, he's really there, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now there are some things that you're going to have to believe about God in order to be able to pray effectively. You're just going to have to believe these things. And if you need to get in the Bible and go through a few lessons and learn to accept what God says a little bit better, that may have to happen. But you must believe that he loves you and that he is your friend. Do you really believe that? Or are you still stuck on how bad you are and why would God want to talk to me? You're going to have to believe that God loves you. I can tell you that God loves you. I can put it on a sign. I can print it. I can send it out in the mail. I can email you. I can text you. But until you're willing to accept it and in your heart believe that God loves you, you're just going to be stuck where you are. You must believe that he wants only what is best for you. Oh, God hates me. Look at the mess my life is in. He could fix it all if he wanted to. You're going to have to fix some things. You're going to have to believe that God wants what is best for you. But you can get in your little pity party and get so depressed thinking about how bad your life is that you're not even going to believe that God wants what's best for you after you finish wallowing in your self-pity. And I'm not the only one who's ever done that. Amen? Amen. You must believe that he will do what he promises to do. God keeps his word. If you're trying to meet the conditions of God's promises and you're not seeing any results, you better go back and check the conditions. Because God keeps his word. He does what he promises to do all the time. And you must believe that he genuinely wants to hear from you. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear the thoughts and intents of your heart as you share with him the things that ought to be shared with the Lord. You see, the Bible declares all of these things and many more to be true. Can you not simply accept them? Simply believe him? You must learn to pray with confidence. In 1 John 3:20, John says, "If our heart condemn us," what's that mean? Well, if you're feeling guilty about this or that, we'll talk more about it. "If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." He knows everything there is to know about you and about what you've done and about what you failed to do. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." If things are right between you and the Lord and you don't have this burden of guilt hanging over you that you haven't dealt with, you can have confidence when you go to prayer with the Lord. "And whatsoever we ask," I found this promise just a little while after I was saved. And this promise right here, and I was just dumb enough to believe God meant what he said. And this promise right here has carried me through all these years and has blessed my life like I can't even begin to describe to you. And he says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." There are basically three things that keep us from praying with confidence. One, you know that what you're asking is not in God's will, but you just want it anyway. God, please give me this job that's going to keep me out of church two-thirds of the time. Now I can call you dummy and get away with it. It's not written in there. I just made it up. That would be a really foolish thing to do, wouldn't it? That you're not going to be able to pray with confidence when you're asking what you already know is not in God's will. The second one would be that you don't know if what you're asking is in the will of God or not. Now, I face that fairly often. I mean, I've read my Bible a lot of times, and I read it a lot, and I still don't always know if something that I'm asking God is for sure in His will. Sometimes when we ask for healing for people, I'm not sure if it's God's will to heal them or not. Because He may be teaching them what He taught me when I had cancer all those years ago. And if I hadn't been taught what God taught me when I had cancer all those years ago, I wouldn't be standing here preaching the Word of God to you today. So I can't always be sure that what I'm asking is in the will of God. I just confidently ask God to do it according to His will. Because I'm not smart enough to know which way is the best, but He is. And I trust Him. Can you say to God, Lord, I trust You. Do what needs to be done according to Your mercy and Your love and Your kindness and the great God in heaven that You are. But Lord, whichever way You take this, I'm trusting You that it's the right way to go. And the third one is that you know that you're not doing with your life what pleases God. Primary to which is worshiping and serving God as a part of one of His churches. You're not going to be out there like the Lone Ranger, out of church, not being a part of the body of Christ, not doing your part for the success of the body, and be able to pray with confidence. You'll never be able to do it. Now, we are created for God's glory. And prayer is a tool to that end. The answers to your prayers depend mostly on what you ask for and why you're asking. You need to learn to pray. I need to learn to pray more for the things that we know bring God glory. Things like asking God to send someone to your loved ones. I remember when Clarissa and James were praying for her stepmom and her blood father. And we were asking the Lord to send someone that they would listen to tell them about Jesus. And He did. See, that's a prayer God can answer. Someone to tell them about the gospel. How the Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose the third day according to the Scriptures. With absolute complete payment for all our sins. Pray less for the specifics that we may want. And let God be the one to decide what you need. Let me tell you something. You will not be disappointed if you let God be the one to decide which job you take, which house you live in, which church you serve in, because God sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. Let God be the one to decide. And learn to pray with confidence. Learn to enjoy having a conversation with your Heavenly Father. You just going down the road. It's a good time to talk to the Lord while you're driving down the road, especially if you're by yourself. You don't want to do that in formal prayer with your knees bowed and your eyes closed, you understand, but it's a good time to have a conversation with your best friend. Now, you may not refer to God as your best friend, but He is the best friend you've got, I'll tell you that right now. Don't just come to the Lord only to ask for stuff. There's got to be some time that you spend with the Lord that you're not, Lord, can You give me this, and can You give me that, and can You fix this, and can You fix that, and Lord, what about, no, just share what you're doing with the Lord. Keep your heart clean so that you can talk to God all the time. Don't wait till Sunday to confess your sin so you get back right with the Lord, so you You can worship. Take care of it immediately. Stay in the Word so that you will know what is in God's will. And I sat down this morning and I wrote this note as God was still speaking to my heart about the keys to answered prayer. So I'll just read you what I wrote down. I think the true bottom line for us today is that we do a whole lot less telling God what we want and a whole lot more asking God what He wants.